President, will the further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring the absent members?
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Gregory Welch from St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Edina.
Morning.
Edina. The guy says Edina.
Yes, I know. Let us pray. Loving God, you made us to depend on each other for all of our lives. Thank you for the community of life in which we find the gifts of love, of belonging, of kinship. Each of us, in our own uniqueness, has our privilege and your charge to use the talents you have given us for our own joy and for the common good. Lord, this governing body reminds all of our interdependence. These people chosen by us all share in the mandate of discerning how Minnesota will live with direction and law. Give them the gift of dialogue and respect for all in choosing direction. Help all who deliberate to avoid self-righteousness in trying to find your truth. Help the members of this Senate, O God, to maintain integrity in their direction and compromise to govern in harmony with you. Help all the people in our state to search for the balance of rights and responsibilities, of autonomy and interdependence, and of freedom and accountability. We pray all this with humble hearts and a hunger to do what is right, O God, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file as amended by the House, in which amendments to concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 3337, a bill for an act relating to energy, creating coordinated process for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Senate File 3337 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Delbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House on Senate File Number 3337 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
Okay, on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House File 3722, 3195, and 3486, signed Delbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, the next order of business is first reading of House bills. They are printed on today's agenda without a, and it will be referred to the committees as indicated. Without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There's a couple of authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take those. It's one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a few resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, these resolutions will be referred to the Rules Committee. Remaining under motions, without objection, we'll take first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Okay, Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
Before I recognize that motion, you want to waive the lie-over? I think there's one.
When we resolve, do we need to do it now in the Committee of the Whole?
Before the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. President, members, let me withdraw that motion. We do have a general orders calendar. There is one item, number 61, House File 3346, from Senator Higgins, that we would have to waive the lie-over for in order to take it up. So I move, Mr. President, to waive the lie-over on House File 3346.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now, Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, now I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
Okay. On that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman.
Committee is in order. Senator Betzel.
Since I cannot designate the list, I would move that we adopt the list that has been distributed as the general orders list, general orders list number one for Thursday, April 28th, dated 10 a.m.
Okay. On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The first bill before the committee on general orders will be number 35. This is Senate File 3715. This is Senator Day.
Mr. Chairman, when this committee do arise, I would like to move on 3715. Members, this is a local bill in regards to a nursing home that is going to be downsized and converted with our Mayo clinic system and the Alina Hospital system in Owatonna, Minnesota. It's the Steele County Communities for a Lifetime proposal. Mr. Chairman, what I need to do is I need to offer amendment on 3715. Members, what happened is 3715 went through a committee and got passed, and then also 3638 also went through two committees and got passed. And I would like to offer amendments, Senate File 3638, to replace the 3715 so it can be matched up with the bill that's going through the House.
Okay, that Secretary will report the day A50 amendment.
815, correct.
Senator Day moves to amend Senate File 3715 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert Section 1. This is Amendment A50.
Senator Day, did you describe the amendment already?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned before, this went through Senator Berglund's committee, and then it went through Senator Cohen's Finance Committee. And this actually now puts both bills together, and it matches up with the House bill that is traveling over there. And this is the Steele County Communities for a Lifetime proposal that I mentioned, that it's an important pilot project initiative that implements 15 years of state policy direction relative to long-term care options and services targeted at keeping seniors healthy and independent. It's a project aligned with the Department of Human Services 2010 and 2030 initiative seeking to downsize the nursing home component of the state's delivery system and to promote the development of community-based long-term care options. And I would like my colleagues vote.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, I just wanted to speak in general to Senator Day's bill, because I think sometimes we just kind of gloss over and we don't really understand all the details of a bill. But what Steele County is proposing and what Senator Day has before us is exactly the same principles that are included in the payment reform that we had in our health care reform bill that was before us earlier this year. What they are proposing to do here is to close some nursing home beds. They are proposing investing money that they will get from that savings into providing people with more services in their home and in the clinic so that they don't end up going into the hospital or the nursing home. And that is exactly what the payment reform that we're trying to work on this year for the general health care system is proposing to do. And so for people who say that this won't work in rural Minnesota, or for people who say that it can't be done by small providers, I stand here today and tell you that Senator Day and Steele County are showing you that that is not true.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senate File 3715 as amended, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, the next bill on general orders is number 33 on general orders, Senate File 2925. This is a Senator Saltzman bill. Senator Saltzman.
There. There. And Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 2925 be recommended to pass.
Saltzman, discussion on the bill.
Yes. I'd like to first of all introduce the A to amendment, Mr. Chair.
Secretary will report the Saltzman A to amendment.
Senator Saltzman moves to amend Senate File 2925 as follows, page 1, line 10. This is amendment A-2.
Senator Saltzman on the amendment.
Yes. On the A2 amendment, Mr. Chair, I would like to let people know that the A2 amendment brings this bill, it represents agreement between many of the stakeholder groups, including the department. MnDOT has approved of this particular language. What it does, essentially, is that it requires the new MnDOT commissioner to appoint a chief deputy, a deputy commissioner who is also the chief engineer for the agency. What this amendment does is that it does not limit this position to just one. It restores the language so that there may be two deputy commissioners in the department.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to briefly go over this bill, last August when there were a number of meetings regarding our Transportation Committee, the Bridge Investigation Committee, and there were many questions asked about who was making decisions within the Department of Transportation, we found out that there was not a chief engineer in the agency. And that was frankly disturbing to a lot of people. And with further investigation, we found that for many, many years, beginning in 1989, that the deputy commissioner had served as the chief engineer for this agency. So what this bill is doing is really reverting back to the practice of what has been in standard and the norm until 2007. And then in passing this law, it puts into practice what has been the best practice in this department. We have worked with the department and also the Society of our professional engineers in this state. And it's very important to have someone within the executive level of this department who really reflects and has the knowledge and expertise and understands the culture of a very highly technical department. So we are pleased that we've been able to work with the department on this, to work with our stakeholder groups. We've heard repeatedly about this last week about the appointment. And the fact that there's been discussion about restoring the public trust. And this is a very good first step, and I would stand for questions.
Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would Senator Saltzman yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Gerlach.
Chairman and Senator Saltzman, I understand the importance of having an engineer in this role. I'm wondering, however, is it appropriate for the legislature to dictate to the executive branch the particular educational qualifications of their deputy commissioners, which are political appointees? And so I'm torn on this. But my specific question to you is, do we have in law any other requirements for any other executive branch departments? For example, do we require deputy commissioners of the Department of Health to have a medical degree of some sort? Do we require deputy commissioners in the Department of Natural Resources to have some sort of a whatever equivalent environmental degree or whatever it might be? Do we require this of any other executive agencies?
Senator Saltzman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gerlach, that's a very good question, and I don't believe that we do, but I would say this. We had a catastrophe of historic proportions, and the public had many questions, and we really couldn't answer who was the chief engineer in this department and who was making decisions. And so sometimes the legislature has to step in and do something when common sense does not prevail. And there have been many questions asked by people of both parties about, don't we want to make sure that the public knows that we are looking out for their best interests? And a person who is a professional engineer and licensed, the first thing they think about when they make decisions is public safety. And I want to be able to know that there's a person at the top, the point person, who's always going to be able to answer questions in a highly technical department, especially given what has happened in Minnesota in the past year. So a good question, but frankly, we are asking them to do what should be being done already.
Further discussion, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak in favor of Senate File 2925, and thank Senator Saltzman for her work on this. In particular, I'm pleased that MnDOT is supporting the proposal that's before us. And most importantly, I think that this is indicative of a new direction that's being taken within the Department of Transportation, and is certainly consistent with the direction that new Commissioner Sorrell himself is taking and is a part of. And I think Commissioner Sorrell himself, by background, is a civil engineer. I think that this is will go a long way in helping to restore public trust in our Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, I'd like to rise and opposition to this bill, not necessarily because the idea is bad, but I think the idea is bad from the standpoint of the legislature dictating, in this case, to the administration or to the executive branch of government, who they ought to hire, what the qualifications might be. I mean, if you carry this to the end, the MPCA person probably ought to be an environmental engineer. The Department of Health commissioner ought to be perhaps a medical doctor. And you can go right on down the list in terms of so-called academic qualifications. I think we ought to be able to trust, and if we don't, then we need for instance, to blame the executive. If the executive has not filled the positions, irrespective of party, with good qualified people, then I think that's the executive branch's fault, and we ought, you know, they ought to be worried about it, and we ought to be critical of them. But I don't think that it's in the best interest of the state of Minnesota for the legislature long term to be involved in dictating academic qualifications of commissioners or deputy commissioners or anything of the like. So I would hope, Mr. President, members, that we not go down this road. I don't think it's a good road. I think long-term it's a dangerous road, and we ought to let the governor be the governor, the legislature be the legislature, and stay out of this debate.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the A3 amendment.
Secretary will report the Roebling A3 amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 2925 as follows. Page 1, line 9. This is Amendment A-3.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I certainly appreciate what Senator Saltzman has amended so far. And I don't disagree that maybe one of the top people at MnDOT should be a licensed professional engineer. But this amendment would say that a commissioner who is licensed as a professional engineer under the appropriate section may appoint a deputy commissioner who is not a licensed professional engineer. And so that in the end, we would have one of those top people always being a licensed professional engineer. And members, I bring this up because I think that we could end up in a situation where we don't have people with complementary skills. An engineer, and I don't want to offend any engineers, but they operate sometimes a little differently. They're very concrete, and not all of them, but a lot of them are. And the people at the top have to manage a department with 4,400 people in it, and so we would like somebody who would have those two people at the top having complementary skills. And right now we do only have one deputy commissioner. And I know Senator Cohen has a provision in the finance bill that would keep us at only one deputy commissioner. And so even though I really appreciate what Senator Saltzman is doing, and if we can always continue to have, could have more than one deputy commissioner, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem, but we may end up with only one commissioner and one deputy commissioner, and I'm just saying that under this proposal, only one of them would have to be a licensed professional engineer. So I appreciate some discussion on that.
Senator Saltzman.
There. You know, on this point, Mr. Chair, think about Bill Gates. Bill Gates has a great background in, you know, in software, and he has been the CEO of his company, but I'm sure he always had an officer who was his top IT director. That even though the CEO of a company has background in something, he wants the point person whose job is going to be the technical person. Now, Mr. Sorrell, who has been appointed by the governor, we have not had a chance to talk with him yet, but it's my understanding that he is not a licensed professional engineer. I'm very pleased to see his background, but we really need to have the point person whose job it is to be the chief engineer. And there was some discussion about whether or not the commissioner should be, you know, that we should require this or it be one or the other. And with the stakeholder groups, this is the language that was preferred. So I oppose the amendment. I think it's good discussion, good thought. But remember that in this particular legislation, it does allow for two deputy commissioners. And they can complement each other. Currently, the deputy commissioner has a planning background. So you need to have many different skills within the top administration. But the commissioner of the DOT has many, many responsibilities. And we believe that, or I believe that it's very important that there be one person who is that technical officer whose focus it is. We have a lot, we've invested tremendous amounts of our taxpayers' money in new construction and safety issues. And at this point, to say that we're going to stretch somebody and cover a lot of different areas doesn't feel responsible. So I oppose the amendment.
Further discussion on the Roebling amendment. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Saltzman, I think that your bill is really important. I think this is really important legislation. And what you're doing and what you've done all session is you have highlighted the fact that we need technical expertise in the executive suite at the Department of Transportation. Having said that, I think that Senator Roebling raises makes a valid argument that if, in fact, we're in a circumstance where we have that technical person in the commissioner's position, that in fact, satisfies, at least from my perspective, that we have the technical expertise in the executive suite, or at least in the inner circle. I don't know if the new commissioner of transportation meets the requirements of Senator Roebling's amendment, but if he does, I do think that should suffice for having our desires met by having assurances that we have technical expertise in the leadership at MnDOT. And so, members, I would support Senator Roebling's amendment and believe that that provides the best flexibility, but it also stays with the spirit of Senator Saltzman's bill, and that's to make sure that there's accountability in the Department of Transportation in terms of having technical expertise. It's one of the departments that where it's most important, because so much of that job relates to safety, that we need technical people in leadership. And so I strongly support this bill, but I think the Roebling Amendment makes the bill even stronger.
Senator Saltzman, do you have a...
There. I do continue to oppose this amendment, Mr. Chair. I think that I, again, want to talk about that we worked very hard with many different stakeholder groups to put this together. And I am very pleased that the department prefers this language. And so to respect that, we have listened and worked. We've heard this in different committees, and there was really never discussion brought up about requiring that either the commissioner or deputy. It was very specific to the deputy commissioner because it reflects the best practice that has been here in this department, since at least 1989 and even before that. So I would, again, oppose the amendment.
Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Saltzman, I do thank you for bringing forward the legislation and for the leadership that you've provided all session with regard to oversight and accountability, taking care of the people in Minnesota with regard to bridge safety and many of the other transportation issues that we're facing. But I rise to support Senator Roebling, and I suspect that the reason why this particular suggestion has not been discussed is because we had not considered that perhaps the commissioner would be a licensed engineer. And in fact, I don't know if this new commissioner, it sounds to me like you have information this commissioner is not a licensed engineer, and so this wouldn't even affect our current situation. But the reason why I think this is important is because if you're managing such a large organization, it should be up to the leadership group how to divide their responsibilities. And so if you do have a technical expert at the top, that brings with it different skill sets, as Senator Roebling said. And so then I believe you want to have the flexibility to have a generalist underneath, because so much of running an agency is about management and communication. And so I am concerned that if you end up with an engineer whose skill set is somewhat different than a generalist who has a strong background in management and communications, then you could, in fact, be creating a system that isn't ultimately going to give you the best department that we all want. With regard to the department being supportive of this language, I suspect the department would welcome this flexibility. I would assume that the department would be happy to have the flexibility to have either one of the positions. That certainly doesn't mean they couldn't have the deputy be an engineer. It just says they would have that flexibility. So I don't understand how this amendment would limit the department or in any way weaken what the department is looking to accomplish.
Okay, we're on the Roebling A3 amendment. Senator Saltzman.
The amendment, Mr. Chair, I go back to I oppose the amendment. We've done a lot of work on this, and I think that if we did not know who the governor was going to appoint for this position, I'm not sure we'd be having this discussion. But again, Mr. Sorrell, it's my understanding that he has a very strong background, and he has backgrounds in many different areas, which is a good thing. And engineering is certainly one of them. But I think we need to look at, overall, what has been in best practice, what has been negotiated, and what the Professional Engineering Society has recommended. There needs to be a point person whose sole job is to be the technical voice and expertise of this department. Someone who is on site, that is their job. And that's why I do not support the amendment. I think it's good discussion, but we have worked very hard on this bill to bring people together, and I, again, oppose the amendment.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not necessarily addressing today's circumstances. This is for something that could be on the books for the next 100 years. And so it's something that would guarantee that one of those top positions, they would be a licensed professional engineer. And we know that there are many licensed professional engineers working within the department as well, but this would guarantee that one of those top two would be. And as we currently have it, we only have, and I appreciate Senator Saltzman's earlier amendment to say that we will keep the language that there could be two deputy commissioners, one of which would have to be a licensed professional engineer. But I am also aware that Senator Cohen has a provision in the finance bill that would make sure that there was only one deputy commissioner in each agency. And so I'm just trying to put this all together and know that there may be a day when there definitely will be only one allowed. And if we have that skill set in one of those top positions, that should be adequate. So please support the amendment.
All those in favor of the Roebling A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chairs in doubt. Those in favor of the Roebling amendment, please stand up. You may be seated. Those opposed, please rise. I'm up on this one. Six, eight, nine. 14, 16, 18, 19, 20. Okay, you may be seated. There being 31 in favor and 23 opposed, the amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on the general orders, number 49, is Senate File 3366. This is a Senator Berglund bill. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3366 be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund, discussion on the bill.
I have an amendment I'd like to offer first and then do the explanation of the bill, Mr. Chairman, so I have the A1
Senator
amendment.
Berglund, we don't see the amendment at the desk.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, maybe we can get that to happen, and I'll explain the bill while we do that. This needs to go to the front.
Okay, I guess that's all right. You could explain the bill, and then we'll get to the amendment in a minute.
Mr. Chairman and members, this bill deals with the money that we have in the current budget for our nursing homes. Currently, we are scheduled beginning October of this year to begin doing rebasing for our nursing homes. If we go ahead with the rebasing as it is scheduled now, all of the money that we had appropriated will go for rebasing, and it will mean that there will be about 136 facilities in the state that will get no increase the second year of the biennium. So what this bill does is to take 1% of the 2% monies that we appropriated for the nursing homes and make sure that every facility gets at least a 1% COLA. The other 1% would be used for rebasing. Obviously, this means that rebasing will be happening a little bit more slowly than it would otherwise. But on the other hand, we know that our facilities do have increased costs, heating costs and fuel costs and food costs, and so giving some COLA increase to every facility, I believe, is a desirable thing to do. I have handed out to you a flyer from the Long-Term Care Imperative, and they have requested this bill. The bill is structured with floors and ceilings in the bill so that it is budget neutral, not only this biennium, but into the future. So I'd be ready for any questions, and or if my amendment is ready, I'd be ready for the amendment.
I shouldn't take long. Let's have discussion on the bill. Okay, see no discussion. We'll wait a minute for the Senator Senjum. Did you have a...
Mr. President, would Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield, Senator Senjum.
Senator Berglund, one of the things that we hear often in greater Minnesota is about a disparity in terms of funding between, I will call them, metro nursing homes and greater Minnesota nursing homes. If that's true, does this bill do anything to repair that or to give a little more equality between metro and outstate nursing homes?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Senjum, to some extent, the rebasing is intended to accomplish that. It doesn't equalize across the whole state, but it does bring low-cost facilities up over time to a level that would be more equal with high-cost facilities. I do have a list of facilities and how they are affected, and I'd be happy to share that with anyone that wants to look at it.
Mr. President, if such a list exists, I think all members would be interested in seeing that. I don't know how long it is, but either today or in our offices.
Senator Berglund, I'm told the amendment you're wishing to put on the bill is already in the bill. So maybe you want to look. Is that
okay.
Correct?
If it's already in the bill.
It's in the engrossment, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we don't. That's not necessary the way.
All right, then I guess I will.
Okay, any further discussion at this point on Senate File 3366? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now the next bill on general orders is number 38. This is, I believe, House File 3411. This is a Senator Johnson bill. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, House File 3411 be recommended to pass.
Johnson, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the annual Department of Commerce Weights and Measures bill. It just complies Minnesota standards with federal standards, which change quite often, so we just have to keep up.
Okay, on Senator Johnson renews her motion. When this committee do arise, House File 3411 be recommended to pass. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 61, House File 3346. This is Senator Higgins' bill. Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, or does arise, that House File
3346.
That one be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Higgins, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last year when we were working on the predatory lending laws that we came up with, I kept thinking that we needed a fund just to help people catch up who were behind in their mortgages so that going forward they would be current and then they would no longer be in trouble. Well, imagine my surprise to find out that the MHFA actually has a fund like that. It's called the Foreclosure Prevention and Assistance Program, and it is intended to assist homeowners who have gotten behind on their mortgage payments but who can afford their monthly payments once they get current. A homeowner who qualifies could have a no-interest deferred loan. It would be equivalent to 6 months of their mortgage or contract for deed payment and the related costs. And currently, it is capped at $5,500. That amount, that cap, was put in place in 2001. And we all know that the costs of a mortgage are much higher than that in 2008. Our foreclosure prevention counselors find that the current loan limits prevent them from assisting some homeowners because the cap is far below the 6 months that they would be eligible to get. The bill before us today would propose capping the loans based on a formula instead of a flat number. And the formula is 110% of the greater of state or applicable metropolitan statistical area median monthly owner costs of owner-occupied housing, don't you love that, as estimated by the Census Bureau using data collected in the most recent American Community Survey, multiplied times 6 for 6 months. That would, in effect, make a cap of a little over $10,000 for homeowners in the Twin Cities area and a little over $9,000 for homeowners in the rest of the state for 2008. The Minnesota Housing Finance Agency has about $500,000 in this fund that they can use yet in this biennium. And then, good news, Marquette Bank has donated another $500,000 that can be used for this purpose. Leadership at MHFA has also told me that they will be contacting other banks to see if they would like to step up to the plate and add to the fund as well. I have a letter of support from Dan Williams from the Duluth Lutheran Social Services. LSS has been the largest provider of foreclosure prevention services in Minnesota since 1994. In his letter, he states, increasing the maximum loan amount is not a magic bullet that will solve all of the foreclosure problems in Minnesota, but it is another tool in a foreclosure prevention agency's toolbox that can be occasionally used when circumstances call for it. So I'd love to have your support, and I'll stand for any questions.
Any further discussion on House File 3346, Senator Senjum?
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I have the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Senjum A50 amendment.
Senator Senjum moves to amend House File 3346 as follows. Page 1, after line 5, insert. This is amendment A50.
Senator Senjum on your amendment.
Mr. President, members, this is an amendment that is the equivalent of a bill that Senator Foley had, which passed off this floor at, I believe, 65-0, or close to it, in which Senator Higgin has agreed to. And, Mr. President, members, it simply has to do with the need for public utilities, cooperative electrical associations, or municipal utilities to provide notice to a statutory city, home rule city, on the disconnection of either electricity or gas. And this goes to the issue that, of course, when you disconnect either one of these utilities, and particularly gas, you run the probability, at least, of pipes freezing and breaking and water damage to a house that's already in foreclosure. And when you have a waterlogged house, you have certainly an additional problem with respect to ever bringing that house back to a useful purpose. So it's a good bill. I think it's moving ahead in the House, although not together sure. This is basically an insurance policy to make sure that a good idea does in fact become law this year, given the number of foreclosures that we have. So I hope you support all of us might support this amendment and put it on the bill. And if it needs to be removed eventually, we can certainly do that, but it does provide some assurance that it gets done.
Discussion, Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask members' support on the A50 amendment that handles the problem of the leaking water where it failed to turn them on and the pipes froze and a number of other things. So please support A50 amendment.
Further discussion on the A50 Senjum amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on House File 3346 as amended. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The last bill on general orders is number 6. Senate File 2825. This is the Senator Pappas bill. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2825 be recommended to pass.
Pappas, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a refinement and clarification of the doula bill, which passed the legislature last year. That bill established a registry for doulas available on the Health Department website and gives women the right to a doula when planning her treatment and discussing alternatives. A planning of treatment and alternatives is ongoing in labor, not something done in advance as it is with disease or injuries. The implication of the existing law is that women are entitled to continuous doula care, but this needs to be explicit, and so we amend the Patient's Bill of Rights to say that every patient receiving maternity care has the right to continuous support from a doula of her choice in addition to her family during her stay at the facility, as long as the doula performs doula services within an accepted scope of practice and standard of care. Then the second addition we make is we indicate that the maternity patients have the right to, from their primary caregiver, to be given education about all methods of pain relief, including evidence-based non-pharmacological methods. We've actually found that women who have doula care It reduces their requests for epidural medication up to 60% and reduces the incidence of cesarean sections by up to 50%. There's mounting evidence that birth weights are better among babies whose mothers receive doula care. I do have a change that I do want to make in that second section upon the request of the Minnesota Medical Association, and that is the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Pappas A50 amendment.
Senator Pappas moves to amend Senate file 2825 as follows. Page 2, delete lines 4 to 6 and insert. This is amendment A50.
Senator Pappas, discussion on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This language is very similar. It says that maternity patients who choose a primary caregiver should receive as part of their prenatal education information regarding all methods of pain relief, including evidence-based non-pharmacological methods. I request your support.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Discussion on the bill as amended. Seeing none, all those in favor of Senate File 2825 as amended signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is there any other work at the desk?
I don't see any.
Mr. President, I'd move a brief recess for the purposes of appointing a conference committee.
Okay. Senate's in recess. Senator. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate's in recess.
Mr. President, sorry for that. I believe there will not be a privileged report, so I would stand for we're done for the day, for the weekend, and we're going to keep the session open to perhaps accept some reports from the House today. So it'll be just a skeleton crew, so members do not have to stick around. And on Monday, so, Mr. President, sorry, I'm going to move that this, I will hold for announcements, but the intent is when we do come back after today's skeleton crew, we will come back at 1 o'clock on Monday at 1 o'clock. So I would hold before my motion to recess to the call of the chair.
Without objection, Senator Torres Ray, Senator Dahl, Rest, M. Olson, Han, Dibble, Murphy, and Skoy will be excused from today's session. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I rise to appoint a personal privilege.
Senator Berglund.
Members, yesterday, two children fell out of windows. One died. And one was injured. And I want to call this to your attention because last year I had legislation because the previous year two children fell out of windows and were injured in my district. We had legislation to improve the screen safety in our buildings in Minnesota. And because the screen industry was opposed to the legislation, it got watered down, and it will not be implemented now until next year. Members, I call this to your attention. Let us pray that none of us have any more children fall out of windows this year and be killed.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I just wanted to announce that and let senators know that the Senate has passed Senate Resolution 183, which recognizes today, Thursday, April 24th, as Parkinson's Disease Awareness Day at the Capitol. And you will see members, citizens who are here today to tell their stories about how the disease affects them. And I just wanted to make sure senators are aware of that, and we welcome them to the Capitol.
Further announcements, Senator Clark.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind members you have a little postcard on your desks. It's from Senator Michelle and myself, the Early Childhood Caucus. Tomorrow is sponsoring an event with Louise Stoney, who is going to be talking about smarter reform beyond single program solutions to an early care and education system. She actually is a pretty amazing person, and if you haven't already made plans to come, it's over the lunch hour tomorrow, and it would be great to show up. Thanks.
Further announcement, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, a heads up on next week. Again, we will come in at 1 o'clock on Monday. There are, I forget the exact number, but I think three, maybe four, maybe five policy vehicle bills that we're going to process Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And this is, remember, we're taking all the policy stuff out of the budget bill, and so there have been designated bills. Senator Senjum, I think, is aware of what these bills are. And so Senator Cohen's committee will be processing a couple policy bills here in the next couple days, and then the intent is to take those up and process those early next week. And then we're basically ready to finalize the session then, relative to the budget. You know, obviously those policy conference committees will have to meet. We have, we've started to work up a list of who would be on those various policy conference committees. I think we've got it pretty broadly distributed. If there's one that you particularly are interested in that you think someone hadn't thought of you, please let my office know. We haven't finalized any of that, but we've tried to distribute that to make sure every member of the Senate is in the appropriate place for those various policy bills. So with that, Mr. President, then I would move that the committee, that the Senate recess to the call of the chair. Okay.
On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President.
The Senate will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, are there messages from the House?
There are messages from the House. Secretary, report the message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file, herewith returned. Senate file 2500, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file, as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 3683, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government, changing certain provisions and programs related to agriculture, etc. Senate file 3683 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, on behalf of Senator Vickerman, I would move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments to the House to Senate file 3683 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, a brief recess for the purposes of appointing conference committees.
The Senate is in recess. The Senate will be in order.
Mr. President, is there a privileged report at the desk?
Secretary, report the privileged report.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 3683, Senators Vickerman, Scogin, Dill, Murphy, and Erickson Ropes. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion to appoint the aforementioned conference committee, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails, and the Senate has appointed the conference committee members. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is there anything necessary in that other House message? No other work at the desk?
No more work at the desk.
Mr. President, are there excuses you need to read?
The excuses have been read earlier this afternoon.
Then, Mr. President, I'd move the Senate adjourn till Monday, April 28th, 1 p.m. Yeah, 1 p.m.
On that motion to adjourn till 1 p.m. on Monday the 28th. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Senate is adjourned.